Thank you, Sandy. Good morning, everybody. My Dafina and I have retired at Verena, a senior residence in Santa Rosa. There are some wonderful people there, and we brought with us this morning two of the best. Now, I would not want to embarrass them by asking them to stand up or make a speech, but maybe they would be willing to wave their arm to say hello to all of you. Thank you, ladies. Tommy and Rosalie, and you'll enjoy getting acquainted with them, I know. Please find a Bible and just leave it open, if you will, to Luke chapter 15. Luke 15. I must begin with a confession this morning, ladies. I enjoy watching football. My Dafina does not enjoy watching football. She thinks it is boring. Now, why does she not enjoy football? One reason is that she's never played the game. I've played enough football that I can imagine myself throwing every pass and making every touchdown. You'll enjoy a game a whole lot more. It's a well-known fact. If you have played the game, you will enjoy watching the game. You can be there in your imagination. Jesus is going to tell us some stories this morning, and I think you're going to enjoy these parables a whole lot more if you can imagine yourself in them. Jesus is sharing 3 1/2 stories, for all from Luke 15. And I can see myself in every single one of them. And I invite you to do the same. You'll enjoy it a whole lot more if you can see yourself in the story, okay? Now we get the setting for our stories from our master from Luke 15, verses 1 and 2. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathered around to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." This man welcomes sinners. If you have come to worship this morning as a sinner, you have a tremendous advantage because Jesus welcomes sinners. The rest of you may feel a little left out. Now, these stories are all stories about being lost and found. Story number one, the sheep that was lost and found. Number two, a coin that was lost and found. And third, the prodigal who was lost and found. But then comes the one half, the lost elder brother who left unfound. Three out of the four were found. So we're talking about being lost and found. In this passage, it's very intriguing to me to realize how much excitement there is. If you study it, you will find that joy or rejoice is used 5 times. And celebration is used 4 times. All in this one story. This is an exciting chapter. And our lesson for this morning is simply, what's lost can be found. And finding is exciting. Our sermon in a sentence, what's lost can be found. And finding is exciting. See if you can find yourself now in these stories that Jesus told. Story number one, through the sheep story, I see myself as a wrong priorities sinner. A wrong priorities sinner. Verses 3 and 4, then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? The sheep got up that morning with no intention of getting lost. She didn't say, I think I'll go out and get myself lost today. Now, the sheep got up that morning saying, I'm hungry. She was focusing on food. And she found a little tuft of grass here and a little more there and some more yonder and then some more and some more. And she kept her nose to the ground until she was entirely lost to the good shepherd. We keep our nose to the grindstone all day. And we develop wrong priorities just as that lost sheep did. We have a job to keep. We have a family to feed. We have a house to clean. We have kids to dress. And we let the urgent crowd out the important. One of the most devastating tendencies and temptations of life, one of the great wisdoms of life, is simply never let the urgent crowd out the important. Like that sheep, gradually, unintentionally, and yet inexorably, we nibble ourselves away, little by little, little by little, eyes to the grind, to the ground, and our eyes lost to the good shepherd until we come eventually to the place where we no longer possess what we confess. Tafina and I flew into Springfield, Missouri. We were going to Branson, rented a car, got out on the freeway, and away we went. And it was a good road, and we were making excellent time. There was just one problem. As we got onto the freeway, Branson was that way, and we turned that way. And the faster we went, the further we got from our goal. And if the Lord Jesus Christ is our goal, and we keep going our own way, the harder we work, the faster we go, the further we get away from our Lord. Fortunately, eventually, we turned around. And if you have been nibbling away from your focus on the Good Shepherd, turn around this morning. Get your priorities right again. Because, praise the Lord, the story says that what's lost can be found, and finding is exciting. Verses 5 to 7, and when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my sheep. I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. It says, rejoice with me. We talk often about the fact that when we give our lives to Christ, we rejoice. But Jesus was saying more than that. It says, rejoice with me. You see, returning to a close relationship with the shepherd is good news to you, but it's exciting news for him. Do you ever think about committing yourself to the Lord in order to make Him happy? We lived up in Medford, Oregon, right near Ashland and Southern Oregon University, that has a very interesting program. Each summer, they have a band directors college. They bring band directors, professionals from different colleges and from different high schools, and they train them to be directors of bands. And they can get an advanced degree by coming summers and doing this. Well, these folks are all very capable musicians. And so, as in the process, they form their own band, and the band plays a number of times during the summer, and especially on the 4th of July. One of the great treats is on July 4. We used to sit in the grandstand, and here was the band here with very, very skilled musicians, and band music is stirring anyway, and they'd play and they'd play and they'd play. And they really would get through with the concert, but they'd keep on playing because they were waiting for it to get dark. They wanted the sky absolutely black. And then the fireworks started. And that whole black sky was splashed with blue and green and red and yellow. We listened to the beautiful band music as we saw that sky lit up. Listen, when you give your heart to Jesus, His heart lights up like the night sky of the 4th of July. What's lost can be found, and finding is exciting. Story number two. Through the lost coin story, I'm looking again at myself and inviting you to do it too. I see myself in the lost coin story as an insensitive worshiper. An insensitive worshiper. Verse 8, or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? The lost coin was round. The lost coin was heavy, and so it fell. The lost coin was dead, and so it lay right there in the house. But it was totally unconscious of its surroundings because it was just a dead, lost coin. Is it possible for me to come to church and be as unconscious of my surroundings as that lost coin was down there on the dirty floor? Is it possible for me to come to worship and see only a building? You see the people, but do you see God? You hear songs sung, but you don't hear God speak. We are present in the pew, but don't sense the presence of God. As we come into God's house to worship, we come in a very special way into the presence of a holy God, and it makes us sleepy. Like the coin, we are oblivious to our whereabouts. Have you lost the vibrant meaning of worship? Remember, the lost can be found, and finding is exciting. Verses 9 and 10. And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. When the Model T Ford first hit the street, it didn't bring all heaven to its feet. And when the first computer was born, they didn't blow old Gabriel's horn. There's only one thing that we're sure about that can make those angels jump and shout. It's when a worshiper makes the Lord his choice. That's when the angels rejoice. Have you lost your enthusiasm for the privilege of worship? The lost can be found, and heaven will rejoice. Story number three. Through the prodigal son, I see myself as a gimme sinner. Verses 11 and 12. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them." Give me my share. He was a gimme son. We all of us are tempted with gimme-itis. It seems sometimes that we say, "Father, give me love, give me life, give me happiness, give me heaven." And I need to say this delicately, but even the most religious of us are tempted to serve God for selfish motives, because we want what God can give us. And we are gimme Christians, young people. It says here it was the younger boy who became the prodigal. Materialism especially attracts us when we are young. I can remember a stage in my life where I would almost have given my soul for a new car. When we're young, materialism seems to be especially tempting. And you young people today have the disadvantage of growing up in a gimme society. We are controlled by Madison Avenue far more than we realize. The average American child watches 40,000 commercials a year. But materialism isn't working in America. Teen suicides have tripled since 1960. Children who are sucked into this materialism cult grow self-centered, and they grow up having trouble coping with life, and trouble coping with work, and trouble coping in marriage. Now we have some good news, because according to this story, when we come to our senses, we get off that gimme treadmill. Verses 17 to 20, "When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father." Make me like one of your hired men. Hired hands did what the father told them. He said, "Let me be your servant." He had changed from gimme to use me. The gimme Christian says, "Give me grace, give me forgiveness, give me eternal life in heaven. Just don't expect too much in return." Repentance says, like the prodigal, we turn around, and instead of gimme, we want to be God's servant. Let me be your servant. What may I do for you after all that you have done for me? Again, Jesus says that what's lost can be found, and that finding is exciting. Verse 20, so he got up, went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. He ran. The old man had not been known to run for years. He just simply got so excited, he was beside himself. He threw his arms around that boy, and he kissed the prodigal son, pig manure and all. Oh, my friend, you don't have to clean up to come to the Father. All you have to do is come. Now, notice how being found is exciting again. We see that word celebrate in verse 23. Let's have a feast and celebrate. And verse 24, so to begin to celebrate. And dropping down to verse 32, we had to celebrate and be glad. Heaven is not the somber place that we sometimes imagine it to be. Heaven loves the excitement of the prodigal's return. Heaven is waiting to blow up the balloons and to put up the banners and serve the punch and throw the confetti and raise the rafters and celebrate when the sinner comes home. What's lost can be found, and finding is exciting. Now we come to the sad part of the chapter, story number 3.5. It's a half because Jesus never finishes it. He ends the chapter here with the story still up in the air. Through the elder brother, I see myself as a distrusting sinner. Can you see yourself in the elder son as a distrusting sinner? Verses 28 to 30. The older brother became angry and refused to go in, so his father went out and pleaded with him, but he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him." Now, it wasn't just that the elder brother couldn't forgive the prodigal. It was much worse than that. It was that he couldn't trust the father's leadership. And the Christian, the active Christian, the church-attending Christian, the long-time on the church books Christian, is sometimes tempted. I've stuck with the father. I've worked for the father. You're working on the nominating committee. I took offices in the church. I've done good things and given my means. It's only natural to expect privileged treatment in return. And we're sounding exactly like the elder brother. And then a trial comes, and we become devastated, even angry, when we don't get our own way. Remember, our real relationship with God is proven by how we act when we can't understand why he does what he's doing. You want to test your real relationship with God, it's best proven by how we act when we can't understand why God is doing what he's doing. Jesus now leaves the story unfinished. And of course, there's a reason for that. It's because we are supposed to finish the story. The end of the story depends upon our reaction and our decision. That boy was unwilling to be found. Are you willing to be found this morning? Boys and girls, Londoners can tell when the queen or the king is in at Buckingham Palace, because when the king is in, there's always a flag that is flying over Buckingham saying the king is in. You kids sing a song about it. There's a flag flying high over the heart of the Christian, and the name of that flag is joy. And that's how you can tell the king is in. And if there's no joy in your heart this morning, it means that the king's not in. If there's no joy in your heart, it simply means that the king's not in. I used to love playing softball. Every recess, every single minute that we could squeeze in, we were out there in our scruffy ball diamond. It was a little school where I attended, and we played softball. But too often, somebody would hit a long ball or a foul ball, and our diamond was surrounded by weeds, and the ball would be lost. So the game ends. We were, a small school. We could only afford one ball at a time. And so we would go out into the weeds, and we would start looking for that lost ball. And after a bit, there was great temptation to give up. Then somebody would come along with a great, deep philosophical statement. It's got to be somewhere. And we would renew our spirits, and knowing that it's got to be somewhere, that it is findable, we would look until almost always we found it. Brothers and sisters, the lost is findable. Never give up. What's lost can be found. Your lost priorities can be found. Your lost awareness of the privilege of worship, it can be found. Your lost emphasis on living to give rather than to get, it can be found. Your lost trust in the Father's judgment and the way he's leading you in your life, it can be found. Don't give up. The lost is findable. And finding is exciting. Eventually, somebody would look down, and there was our precious ball. They would hold it high, yahoo! And the game would begin again, and the fun started all over. Let yourself be found this morning. Let the fun begin. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning, not only for your willingness to accept us, but for your seeking after us, longing for us to want to be your children. I pray as we close this morning that each sincere worshiper here will experience the wonderful joy of being found. In Jesus' name, amen.